I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're about to have a conversation with Medea Benjamin, who is co-founder of Code Pink and the Global Exchange. She'll be here this Sunday, January 31st, from 7 to 9 p.m., speaking at the 8th Annual Rick Pfeffer Lecture and Baltimore Tikkun Present. And it'll take place at 2640 St. Paul Street in Baltimore. The talk is From Afghanistan to Gaza, Working Toward a More Peaceful World. And Medea Benjamin joins us now from Haiti, where she is. Welcome, Medea. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mark.
So tell us about Haiti, and when did you go down? And I'm very curious about what you've been doing there, what you've seen.
Oh, I've been here for almost a week now. We've been staying partly in Port-au-Prince at the UN compound, and then now in Jacmel. The devastation is more than I ever could have imagined. Not only in Port-au-Prince, but we went to Laogan, which is almost completely devastated, and then made our way over the mountains. The mountain road is in terrible condition because big boulders have fallen down, and so much of the island, not just Port-au-Prince, has been devastated. So it's just an incredible catastrophe where there are still bodies that are underneath the rubble, still pulling people out, their loved ones, and just hard to imagine how the rebuilding is going to happen.
Well, now, why did you go down? I mean, what are you doing there? Often when I've seen you in Gaza, which we'll talk about, you were clearly in a demonstration to open the Gaza Strip and open the world to what's happening in Gaza and other places. What are you doing in Haiti?
I am the co-founder of another organization, Global Exchange, that has worked in Haiti for many years, and came down to see how some of the people we worked with were doing. I also used to work with the United Nations, so we've been staying in the UN compound and seeing what the different programs and how they're working. And also we'll be writing and speaking about this. One of the things that I have observed is the way that the U.S. has militarized the aid. Unlike other countries like Germany or the Canadians or the French or the Cubans, the Venezuelans, we've even found Iranians, their aid is done in a much more of a low-key fashion where they'll have some security but minimal. And yet when you see how the U.S. is doing the aid, it almost looks like it's a war zone and that the Haitian people are the enemy. With the helicopters and the tanks and the guns drawn. So that is something that I certainly will be critical about. But on the other hand, it is positive to see all the countries around the world coming together to provide some relief, trying to get food out to people, and certainly a lot of wonderful doctors and nurses from around the world who are providing medical care.
So are you saying that the U.S. airborne and other troops have tanks in Haiti?
Oh, yes. My goodness. They are fully equipped as if they would be in Iraq or Afghanistan. Yesterday, we saw a food distribution of only 240 boxes of MREs, of the food rations. And it took about 100 Marines to do it, bringing it from a ship by helicopter into the a plaza near the town of Laogan, and then distributing it by having military surrounding the whole area where they were delivering the aid with their guns drawn, keeping the Haitian people away, then putting it onto trucks that would take it to the distribution center. And this being done with no Haitians helping, just a U.S. military operation where they're yelling and screaming at each other and screaming to keep the Haitians away. Meanwhile, just down the road, they were giving 10 times that, 2,400 boxes away in a very orderly fashion with Haitians themselves helping to organize it, long lines and sometimes some pushing and shoving, but taken care of without any of the gun. And it just was a great comparison of how to do distribution and how to not do distribution.
So tell me how...
And the other thing is what they were giving away. The Americans were giving away military rations that people don't know what they are, have never eaten this stuff before, probably don't like it. And the Canadians were giving away rice and beans and flour and cooking oil, which is what people most want.
I wonder what you think will come next in Haiti and what our response should be. I mean, it's the shows we've been doing recently about Haiti have made it very clear that that we here in the United States have had a big role to play in destroying the economy of Haiti, whether it's our agriculture, cement factories, flour factories that don't exist anymore. That Haiti was once a place that fed itself and can no longer do that. And I guess there's going to have to be a huge discussion, debate on how to rebuild Haiti and what our policy should be towards Haiti from here on in.
Well, that's right. And obviously, even before the earthquake, what our policies were doing was not taking Haiti out of the tremendous poverty. Haiti has to become self-sufficient again. It's an island that should feed itself. It shouldn't be buying rice from all around the world. It should be employing its own farmers. And now it's going to have to encourage people to go back into the rural areas because Port-au-Prince isn't going to be able to sustain so many people. So I think, yes, so definitely rethinking. One of the positive things we've seen in terms of starting even the process of cleanup has been a program that the UN Development Program, the UNDP, started called a Cash for Work program, in which they have already employed 5,000 people. Their goal is in the next 3 months to have 100,000 people employed in the cleanup. 40% of them are women. They're choosing people who are coming from the victims and people who have the most need. And so that's a positive program where already the United Nations is thinking about how to put people back to work.
Medea Benjamin joins us. She is co-founder of Code Pink and the Global Exchange. She's an international peace activist, lives in San Francisco. In 2005, she was one of 1,000 exemplary women from 140 countries nominated to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. She will be in Baltimore this Sunday, January 31st, from 7 to 9 p.m. At 2640 St. Paul Street in Charles Village. And she'll be speaking for the 8th Annual Rick Pfeffer Lecture and Baltimore Tikkun together, presenter. The talk will be about from Afghanistan to Gaza, working toward a more peaceful world. And she joins us now from Haiti, where she has gone to do work with one of the groups that she founded that has, does work in Haiti, the Global Exchange. I wanted to talk a minute, not that you do a lot of this, but talk a minute about you, just so our listeners who may be interested in coming on Sunday to find out just who you are. It's not a name that, your name is not a name that's in the mainstream press all the time, though it's in the alternative press a great deal. And talk about your sojourn to who you are politically, socially, and culturally from the time you changed your name to Medea in college and then and the how you've entered the struggle for world peace.
Well, the changing of the name is not very interesting, but perhaps more interesting is that I started working at a very young age for the United Nations because I wanted to do work with poor people and in some of the most devastated areas in Africa, where I spent quite a number of years. And I always felt that I wanted my government to be devoting its resources around the world to helping people. And instead, unfortunately, I encountered in many places around the world the U.S. military presence and thought how we could be using the resources that we were putting into having hundreds and hundreds of bases around the world, putting that into having hundreds and hundreds of centers to take care of malnourished children or to help people grow more food that they need. And so over the years, became more involved politically because I feel that many of our resources are being misused. And whether you're talking about the U.S. involvement in Iraq or Afghanistan, the U.S. support for the Israeli military and what it's doing to Palestinians in places like Gaza, or even here in Haiti where there is such a militarized presence, I have devoted my life to trying to make my country, my government, my tax dollars be used for uplifting people out of poverty, for being part of a movement to end war, and not part of a government that starts and participates in unnecessary wars.
So I wonder, I read this piece that you wrote recently about Martin Luther King and Barack Obama, which I found a very powerful piece that you wrote, and very to the point and cogent. And I know that you also, I think I have this right, you voted for Ralph Nader at one point, as many of us did, but then you ended up saying we should vote, I think at that point was Gore, and I think you probably were for Obama during the last election, as with most progressives in America. And I'm curious where you think we've come to with all that now. I'm curious what you what your assessment is of where we are now, where America is now, and of President Barack Obama, who held so much promise for so many people.
I'm extremely disappointed in Obama's first year. I expected a lot more. I feel like whether we're talking about the economy, where he has been doing the same kind of policies as under the Bush administration of supporting Wall Street and not really focusing on the most important things in the economy, like jobs, or whether we're talking about intensifying the wars that he inherited, or even issues about civil liberties, not being able to close Guantanamo, stop extraordinary renditions, guarantee that people being held by the United States would be allowed to have due process. In all of these areas, I feel disappointed. And when I reflect on it, it's not only a disappointment in Obama, but it's a disappointment certainly in the Democratic Party that controls the Congress and the White House. And then you have to look even further, which is to reflect on the ineffectiveness of our social movements, because it really is from the grassroots that we have to put the pressure on our political leaders. And if they're not doing what we want, then it's obviously that we're not doing something right, because we're not able to get the policies we want, and we're not able to counter the weight of corporate America or the weight of the military complex in changing the course of our policies.
So where does that take us, you think? I mean, you and you know, you've put your words, life, work, body on the line here over the years to fight for peace. I mean, you were just in Gaza in December, and in the Gaza Freedom March, trying to get in through Egypt. I'm wondering what you, when you just said there's not a movement that kind of can push this forward, tell me what you think makes that happen, and what you, where you think we are with that in America now.
Well, you see on the conservative side how the movement is organizing. I might not like it. I certainly don't agree with the policies, but I see that the mobilizing on the right is having impact. We did have a very strong mobilization under George Bush for 8 years. We were able in the peace movement to get hundreds of thousands of people out on the street many times. In fact, on 8 different occasions, we had demonstrations that have over 100,000 people, but the Bush administration wasn't listening. People got tired, and they're not coming out on the streets now with Obama. And yet I think under Obama, if we did have hundreds of thousands of people on the streets saying, bring our troops home from Afghanistan, I think that would have an impact. So now we've got to rebuild the peace movement, which is one of the reasons I'm anxious to talk to the people in Baltimore who have been doing some really wonderful work and are a model for many groups around the country, talk about how we're going to rebuild these movements so that we can be more effective in putting the pressure on the Obama administration.
Now, one last thing. I know you have to go back to your work in Haiti, but when we talk about building, you talk and others talk about building a movement around a peace movement in America, most Americans...
Separate
from the party. But most Americans seem to be more concerned about their welfare, the welfare of their communities, of their children, their families, in this economic downturn, the lack of response from the federal government, which is what the kind of right, quote-unquote, populist movement has really latched onto, effectively, in some senses, touching people's hearts. And I think most Americans seem at this point not to be as worried about Afghanistan, Iraq, Gaza, but more worried about what's happening to themselves in this country. How do you make that connection and make that kind of palpable for people?
Well, that's certainly true, and we have to do it in several ways. And one is to show that when you have a military budget of over $700 billion, not counting the supplemental $33 billion that Obama's going to ask for more troops to Afghanistan, that's money that's being taken away from child feeding programs, from Head Start, from health care programs, from all of the programs that we so desperately need right now. So it's money directly being siphoned off for unnecessary wars that should be going to programs to help end this economic crisis. And the other is to really make connections with people who are organizing around the economy. And there are some very good groups around the country that are doing things to try to keep people from losing their homes to foreclosure, that are pushing for affordable housing, that are working with students to get to stop the increases in the tuition, that are making a university education a luxury for so many young people today, that we've got to connect these issues in a way that people understand that it's not in our interest to be fighting in Afghanistan and spending our tax dollars there, and it is in our interest to be putting that into solving our economic crisis. So connecting the dots for people both economically and connecting them in terms of networking with the organizations that are working on the domestic financial issues.
We've been talking to Medea Benjamin, of course, co-founder of Code Pink and Global Exchange. She's now in Haiti this Sunday, January 31st, 7 to 9 p.m. She'll be here in Baltimore. You can meet her at the 2640 St. Paul Street in Charles Village, and she'll be speaking for the 8th Annual Rick Pfeffer Lecture. And Baltimore Tikkun together present her lecture, her discussion with everyone from Afghanistan to Gaza, working for a more peaceful world. Medea Benjamin will be here. Take the time to come down and join us there to be with her. Medea Benjamin, thank you so much for the work you do and for coming to Baltimore.
Well, thank you so much for the interview. And I look forward to coming to Baltimore and meeting up with some wonderful activists there.
Take care of yourself. We'll see you then.